We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
I just don't think that's ever going to work. Don't leave it up to them to see where you fit. You need to do the work for them to decide where you would fit.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, everyone. It's time for our favorite part of the podcast, our Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is where we celebrate you guys, our listeners from all around the world. You've gone out there, you've shot your shot, you've used some of our advice, and you've got an update for us. Em, this week's shout out goes to Grace, who bought us 3 coffees. Thank you so much, Grace.
Yes, I remember reading this the other morning, and these usually come through overnight if they're international listeners. So I'm opening my eyes first thing at 4 a.m. about to start my shift, and I read it with one eye open and one eye closed, and it always makes me so happy. Grace said, "Wow, I've been manifesting writing this, lol, and it's finally my reality. I've been interviewing for 9 months. That's insane. That is how long it takes for a baby to come out. And could not understand why I kept getting runner-up. Well, I was starting to interview with a company I was really interested in, thought that I flunked the recruiter call, and then luckily got a call back for the hiring manager interview just in time for me to come across you ladies. I binge listened while I was flying across the USA and realized I've been interviewing backwards. I had a complete mindset shift going from guessing interview questions to focusing on my best bits. This was a complete game changer. I killed the hiring manager interview and the skip level interview, continuing to listen to episodes along the way. I just had the team interview left in person. On my way there, I randomly decided to listen to the episode about if you have a bad interviewer. And while I enjoyed the people I talked with, they didn't ask me a single question. Luckily, I knew how to take back my interview and sneak in my stories I knew I wanted to share. I got an email saying they wanted to offer me the role before I even got home. I'm so stoked. Thank you both for the time you spend helping people during a very vulnerable, stressful time. I've recommended the pod to everyone else I know who is interviewing. I have no doubt y'all helped me land this role."
You need to work on your y'all.
Y'all.
Oh, I love that so much because it's just everything that we talk about, isn't it? It's all of the bits and pieces that we go on and on and on about is that you get the opportunity to say, here's the stuff that I want you to know about me, not waiting for the questions to come up so that you can talk about it. Awesome. And I know we talk about being the runner-up as being like, you're doing all the right things. Clearly, Grace was doing so many things well to get to the runner-up stage time and time again, but potentially they just weren't hearing her best stuff. And so it's like, that's the most frustrating thing for me is if you miss out on a role because they didn't hear the things that you have done and are capable of. Does that kind of make sense? Like if you put it all on the table, all your best stuff, and they chose someone else, cool, there's nothing you can do. But if you have these things that would have landed you the role, but you didn't get to talk about them, I think that's a tragedy. That's why we're here. That's why we do this.
Yes. But what are the odds that out of all of our episodes, literally hundreds of episodes in our back catalogue, she chose to listen to the episode about bad interviewers right before she had bad interviewers? When I went for my very first job in my gap year, I was interviewing to try and get a traineeship. And I distinctly remember going into one of these interviews where it was a chat, but they didn't ask a single thing. He just rambled for an hour. And I walked out so confused and was like, how is anyone going to get get that job because you can't get a word in. And obviously I was too young to know about the skills of, so I felt like I was just sitting there nodding along going, oh, wow, yeah, oh, great,
sounds
great. You were
probably asking follow-up questions, like just being polite and then making it worse.
It's awful if you don't know what to do. So it's really a power move knowing that you can be a politician and sneak whatever your agenda is in there.
Yep, exactly. Now, if you are a little bit like Grace and you are forever the bridesmaid, never the bride, or whatever other anecdotes there are, always the runner-up, maybe you need a one-on-one session so that we can work out exactly what it is that you need to focus on. Maybe you've already got the best bits concept down, but something still isn't clicking. Book in a time with me. We can go through some of your answers and I can tell you, hey, here's what I'm seeing in your answers. This is the thing you should focus on. Or if you need a comprehensive overview of how to do your prep step by step so you don't focus on the wrong stuff and you do everything in the right order, Interview Academy is where you need to start. Lots of exciting updates coming to Interview Academy as well.
Yes. And as always, if you liked one of our episodes or tips or want to request an episode specifically on your conundrum, kindly follow us over on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and we could dedicate a whole episode to you, which is exactly what we're doing to our listeners, Charlotte and Vanessa. They both wrote into us about when you want to work for a company, but they're not actually hiring and how to navigate that. So I'll tell you what they said. Charlotte said, hi there, I absolutely love your podcast and it's been so useful in improving my confidence in my job search. I was wondering if you could give me some advice on how to structure an email for when a job doesn't have any open roles, but you want to send them your CV and get your name noticed. Then Vanessa said, hey, Emma and Sarah, love the pod. I've been listening for a while on my job search. I've been finding a lot of interesting companies online that seem like a great place to work, but their careers page doesn't show an available role that matches my skill set. However, they do have a submit your own role or name your role option. A couple of questions. Number one, are those worth applying to or would I be submitting into a black hole? Two, if it's worth submitting my own role, how would you recommend going about it to properly pitch myself as the right candidate for a role that doesn't even exist yet? I think this could be something interesting to discuss on the podcast as a super shoot your shot option to folks who want to pitch themselves to their dream companies. Just a thought. Thanks in advance and keep doing a stellar job on the podcast.
Oh, so nice. Such great messages. And this was a really, really great call out for a topic. It's not something that we would have come up with otherwise. So that's why we need you guys to send us messages. Emails, DMs, whatever it is, let us know. So we're going to be talking about basically shooting your shot with a company who isn't hiring that you want to work for. So there's lots of situations that I think this might be really useful. Maybe the timing of you graduating or you're looking for work experience kind of thing. Like maybe you're moving. Like there's all these times where, hey, this timing for me isn't lining up with these jobs being available, or maybe there's a company that you really, really want to work for. So this is a real shoot your shot kind of a situation. Now, I want to add, you know, some context at the beginning here. I don't want people to think this is what you should be spending all of your time doing. I really don't think this is going to be the fundamental bread and butter of your job search. Because it's a big shoot your shot, we're really putting ourselves out there. It's a bit unrealistic to expect that we're going to hear back. Does that kind of make sense? Like this is a bit of a shot in the dark. This is a bit of a like we're standing at the halfway line on the basketball court and we're flicking it backwards over our head. And it's going to be so incredible if it works, but we're not really expecting it to go in.
We're throwing a Hail Mary.
That's right. Yeah. So I also think it's unlikely to work in companies where the advertising is like mandated, like they have to go through some sort of a process or whatever. So I think government, healthcare, those kinds of industries, you need to know your industry. You're going to have the inside information on your country, your industry, your specific situation. Is this actually going to work for those kind of places or are there lots of policies?
Once again, the poor public servants and healthcare workers never get to do anything fun. It's all bound and official and there's rules and meh. They're not allowed to shoot their shot.
You could still reach out to people and say, hey, if you are hiring, let me know. Like you can do that kind of stuff. I just think it's an expectation setting idea here. I don't want people going, okay, this is all I'm going to do for my job search.
Or if you're in government and healthcare, maybe the language is more, can you add me to a talent pool? Because government and healthcare are big on talent pools.
Yep. Is there a way that you can let me know when there's something comes up? Whatever. Yeah. And if your specific market is really, really competitive to get a job, this might be less likely to work. I don't think you should let that put you completely off, though, if there's a company that you really want to, you know, reach out to. But if you just think about, like, for example, every time I've advertised for a graphic designer, there's just so many applications. For whatever reason, in Australia, in the places that I've worked, you advertise a graphic designer job and there's instantly hundreds of highly qualified, impressive people straight away. So if somebody had reached out to me as an HR manager and said, hey, I'm a graphic designer looking for a job. Yeah, maybe their experience aligns super, super well and it's perfect. But also I kind of know that it will be easy to find another person. Does that kind of make sense? Like I may be less likely to go, oh, wow, you're so rare. So I think that's something to keep in mind as well.
Can I start us off by giving a success story that I have witnessed of someone doing this?
Yeah, because I think now that we've got that disclaimer out of the way, now let's get into like delusion hype mode.
Inspirational mode.
Yes, that's right.
So at my work at the radio station, recently we hired somebody in January who did this and shot their shot. So I think it was maybe 6 months earlier, they were working as an imaging producer, which means basically how the radio station sounds, the audio bits on air, they make it and look after the strategy. It's a very niche job, I would say. There's not a lot of them. And we had an absolute gun. And then he decided to go to university. He was going to study to become an engineer. He did a total career change. So work was pretty stressed. How are we going to find someone? And my boss remembered that 6 months earlier, somebody dropped a resume into the building. And because my boss knew, like, wow, this is really like a niche job and they don't come across it all the time.
We don't need one right now.
Yeah, he went and put it in the top of his desk. He was like, I'm going to hang on to that. And sure enough, 6 months later, when our amazing imaging producer resigns, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, how are we ever going to replace him? And my boss just went, hold right there, and ran into his office.
Wait a minute, he runs off to his office.
Yeah, and pulled out the literal bit of paper, his resume, and was like, I've got the perfect person. And he called him, and he's our new employee.
Wow. What was he doing in the meantime? Like, did he have a different job?
Yeah, he had a remote job, and he'd been doing that for a while, but he missed the office. He'd like moved back to the city. And he wanted to get something local where he could be around the team. So yeah, it does work.
Yeah, I love that. That is awesome.
But it doesn't work in an instant. This was a long game in this case.
That's right. And I think that's another kind of piece to this puzzle is if you're actively in job search, like I want to have something in the next month or so. Again, I think you can do this. I just don't want you trying to get immediate results from something like this because it's even more out of your control than a regular application. But I think it's a great, great strategy, particularly if you're making a move and you're, you know, certain industries you want to work for, you have a really clear goal in mind. I think it's awesome. So here's how we're going to use this strategy to shoot our shot. There's a couple of different things we want to keep in mind. The first is it has to be specific. Do you see how in that example that you gave, it's a very niche role. He reached out to a radio station. He didn't reach out to like a random company who maybe sometimes does some videos and stuff. Does that kind of make sense? Like nobody had to work to be like, why are you dropping this off here? What are you kind of looking for? It was really obvious and clear what the skill set was and what the job would be that the person would go into. So you have to know what role you're going for. And obviously, I want to make sure that we clarify that in Vanessa's question, she kind of says, well, sometimes they say, you know, it's an open role, like choose your own role. And I think if you don't know exactly what role, you have to have a clear goal in mind. Like I want to work in this department or this is the kind of job that I can imagine myself having. And you're not necessarily like making up your own job description in the case of submitting your new role, but it's what is it that you would like to help them do? And I just think this idea of going, oh, well, I just would be happy to do anything there. I just would be happy to work there because I like the company. I just don't think that's ever going to work. Don't leave it up to them to see where you fit. You need to do the work for them to decide where you would fit. Now, even if you think you might fit in more than one place, you're still going to be more likely to be considered for that other job that you didn't even know about or that other department you didn't even know about if you're specific to begin with. I think people are like, oh, but I don't want to rule myself out because if I say I want this, then they won't consider me for this. They will, because people get interviewed all the time and they go, oh, we don't like you for this role, but what about this role? Have you considered it? They will do that if you are specific to begin with, rather than coming in going, here's my skills. What do you think I could do? Like, that's just not their job to work out for you.
Yeah, you want to outsource all thinking, make it so easy that it lands in front of them and they go, wow, we see the exact perfect link. I can chuck that person in and they'll be great. Also, it needs to be targeted. So make sure that you're doing this for companies that make sense for the role or where your experience would be a particular fit. This probably won't be a successful strategy if you're going out on a stretch. If it's like a career change, you've never done it before, and then you're also asking them about openings.
Or if it's just a bit of a random company, does that kind of make sense? Like, I think this works a lot better where you like their company because of X reason. You want to work there because of Y. You want this job because of this. Like, it's kind of like when we say writing a cover letter. Like, if you're just writing a cover letter for just this random job that you came across that you just don't really give a shit about, but you're kind of applying because who knows, it's going to be very hard to write a decent cover letter because you don't actually really care about the job so far. Like, you don't really have any connection to it. Does that kind of make sense? A similar thing with this. If you don't have any feelings about the company or the job or the whatever, it's going to be very hard to actually pitch this properly. So I think it's right when, like Charlotte or Vanessa, there's a company you come across and you go, I want to work there. Cool. Then you can articulate that and use that.
And a note for Vanessa as well, keep in mind that a company might sound great on their career website compared to another, but that's just someone or a team that was clever and has spent some time making it sound good.
Yeah, totally. And I only say that because she said, oh, I see these careers pages and they look so great. Like, that's awesome. And maybe they are a really great company. That could be really true. But sometimes that careers page is made by one passionate HR person. Ask me how I know that. Because I'm the one who's been writing those things and people go, oh, I love your careers page. I'm like, yeah, that's just because I wrote it. I spent a week. Nobody asked me to. Nobody even wanted me to. I had to get permission to actually write those things or create it or whatever. So just don't get too caught up in this company's good because they have a good careers page, if that makes sense. They might be, but that's not a great indicator.
And then if you're also reaching out only because you like the vibe of the company, but you haven't really made a great connection on why you would be a good fit for a specific department, it might be a false sense of attraction.
Exactly, exactly. Read some of their other job descriptions. And we're going to go, this is a really good segue actually, into our third important thing. So it needs to be specific, it needs to be targeted. And then our third point is you have to do your research, 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 research. I think you should check on LinkedIn. Do they have people working for them in that role? So for example, if I was found a company and I was like, oh, they would be really cool to work for. Do they have an HR team? That would be a question that I would be asking myself. And I'd go through LinkedIn, look at all the people that work there and see, do they have a head of HR or do they have a payroll person? Like, who have they got in that function? And maybe they're just not hiring right now. That's a really good option because that means they have a team. That's like kind of like your radio station situation. They have this role. There's just someone in it at the moment. That's great. That means that you're not kind of like completely getting them to set up a whole new thing. What do they call that role if they have it now? Like, how is their kind of thing structured? Is it a sales role? Is it an account management role? Is it a marketing team thing? Is it a, you know, whatever it is, do they have people in that function already? It's just information that you should really have an idea of.
Yeah, and it's really important to use their existing systems. So if there's a link that says register to our talent pool here, do that. You can still send an email, but it's a bit of an ick if they've paid good money to set up a system to funnel these interested people to, and then you're skirting around it. It's the same as like if you're applying for a job and it says don't apply on Seek, email us here. And you can't even follow that to email it. Well,
you need to follow the instructions. And those things, like those talent pools, those register here, those whatever, they're optional. Whenever a company sets something like that up, it's because they wanted to. Does that make sense? Like, it doesn't just like, oh, it kind of comes built in. It's because they chose a platform that does that. They've set that up. Yes, it may not get you, you know, an answer straight away, or it might not be checked every day or whatever the thing is, but use their proper pathways. And you can follow up with an email or a LinkedIn message or something else as well, but do both. Don't just try and go around it.
pull whatever lever they give available to you.
Yeah.
Interview Academy might be the perfect thing you're looking for. Interview Academy is a course Sarah has been working on after delivering hundreds of interview coaching sessions and getting incredible results.
But unfortunately, I'm only one gal living in an Aussie time zone who works a day job, and all of that mean I can't help everyone one-on-one, which drove me crazy.
So for over a year, Sarah's been working on turning all of those amazing lessons into an on-demand, step-by-step interview prep course. We hold your hand through the entire thing.
And you can do it at home in your own time and get instant access right now. Check it out at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. The link is in the show notes.
Actually, I have a story about that. I just remembered. This was for my maybe my second ever job. This is when all your friends are like 14 and 9 months or whatever, and they're all getting their first job. And I was doing, I think, once a week or once every couple of weeks at the tennis club, like cooking sausages and checking people into their tennis nights or whatever. But it was only a couple of hours and I wanted some more hours and stuff. And people were working at McDonald's, and then some people were at Baker's Delight. Like, there were different jobs and they all had different hourly rates. And I was applying to all these places as well. But Mum said, what about Target? And if you're listening in the States, yes, Australia still has Target. Now, this wasn't a regular Target in our small town. This was Target Country, the small Target, and they weren't hiring. They didn't have any ads. And because they're a big company, they didn't necessarily do the whole, like, you know, picture in the window kind of a thing. They had like a bit more of a, like a process. And so instead of going in or whatever, I think I might have done that as well, but there was an online platform and Mum found it and was like, here, we're going to apply here and select the location that you're interested in and just put, you know, our town. And I went, oh, I don't want to do it. And she forced me to. And nothing happened at first, but a few weeks later, I got a call. Hey, do you want to come in? Are you still interested? And it was like some recruiter from their head office or whatever that sent me then in for an interview with the store manager. And I got the job. And all my friends were like, how did you get a job there? And they weren't advertising. And I was like, yeah, I know, because my mum was really smart. Thanks, Mum.
My mum went digging.
Yeah, that's great. Found, and like, I don't want to say this is like pre-internet, but like, it was a clunky website. Like, it wasn't...
I don't know, finding it online, that's a bit advanced for that day and age. That was very much a drop your resume in person type.
This was like MSN, you know, online chat kind of days. Like, this is when Facebook pages were still like a wall that you posted once and then you had to post back on the other person's wall. Like, this is those days.
This was when you couldn't be on the home landline phone at the same time as the internet.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah. So, yeah. It absolutely, absolutely works. Like, those systems that companies have paid to set up, when they go, hey, we want to hire, the first thing they might do is check their talent pools and who's come through in those categories. Really, really cool. Now, also with our research, we're going to make sure that we're reaching out to the right person. We're finding the HR person, the recruiter, the talent person, or even better, the manager for the area that you're looking to work in. And we're going to be tailoring the email that we're going to send to them, whoever this person is that you've found in your research that you're going to target. Now, if you really can't find anyone and you can't target it to anyone, that's okay. But this is going to work so much better if you've done this research and you understand how this all works. I think, like, you're better off doing one of these reach outs really properly versus two of them where you skim over some stuff. Does that kind of make sense? Like, if you're going to do this, you need to be able to spend time on it. And this is coming from the people that say, don't be tailoring your resume and, you know, fussing around with changing everything. That doesn't apply here. You have to be tailoring this stuff.
Absolutely. Now, in true Sarah fashion, she has created a document for this that you can all download that will give you a bit of a template as to how you can reach out, what you can say.
Yeah. And you can copy and paste it, and it gives you sections you can fill in. It's like how to start. You're not looking at a blank page. you've got two different options for if you're targeting a specific role or you're targeting a specific department. It's going to break down. It's very much like our cover letter template and our resume template type of thing. So go and get that download. The link will be in the show notes, or just go to our website and go to our freebies and our resources, and you can put in your email and get it sent to you, get a link so that you can access it. Now, another little shout out, it's going to be one of those things where you may need to make a copy in order to edit it. Don't be trying to edit the main version. And people always say there is a way that you can give people like instantly make a copy access. The only reason I don't like doing that is it forces people to have a Gmail account. And I don't like that. I want people to be able to download it as a Word doc if they want to. I want to keep it as open as it can be.
Can I just do another little housekeeping announcement? We constantly get emails that the templates aren't downloading. And while possibly once a blue moon, maybe there's a glitch on the website, 99.9% of the time, everything is working perfectly. It's user error. Keep clicking until you get to download. What happens is you click on it and then it brings up a page that looks similar, but not drastically different. And you just have to keep following the prompts, keep clicking, yes, okay, give it to me, whatever. And eventually it will come in your inbox. So people just do one click and they're like, it hasn't worked. And then they email us. And I'm like, no, spend some more time.
And I like to make things as easy as possible. If it was possible for me to make it even easier than that, I would. But just the way that the emails work, you can't attach things inside the emails. Anyway, it's fine. It is what it is. So email is best, I think, for this template. You can send the message via LinkedIn, but I think if you can get someone's email, try and get their email. Have you heard this hack of like, are you familiar with how you would work out someone's corporate email address?
No, but I'd love to know, because you know what? People are always finding my corporate email address and I'm like, how did you get this? And they will email me about the podcast to my work email, which I have like, it's not funny. It's so annoying because it'll be like a pushy PR agent who is like blowing up my inbox. And I'm like, it makes me scared. And so I sent a very stern email and was like, hi, so-and-so. This is my personal work email that has no affiliation with Interview Boss. Delete my contact details. Like, do not send any Interview Boss paraphernalia here. Like, this is ridiculous. And I was wigging out. I was like, how have they made this connection? So clearly there's some database somewhere where you pay something or
no,
I don't know.
No. One of my favorite things when there's like someone junior in the team or something like that on reception, or they're getting some kind of phone calls or whatever. I've taught a few people. Yes. They get so freaked out when there's a salesperson who calls because they have all these tricks. And when someone's fresh to the workplace and to the corporate world, they don't know all the tricks. So they'll say, Sarah, there's so-and-so called from this recruitment agency. They said that they'd been speaking to you on LinkedIn and they're on the phone. And I'm like, I haven't been speaking to them on LinkedIn. And they're like, oh, but they said that they, and I'm like, I know. They've probably sent me a request or something, or a DM that I haven't replied to. Like it's they lie. They stretch the truth and they're just trying to get around you to like, it worked, right? Because you came to me instead of being like, oh, this person doesn't actually know Sarah. They're just trying to get me on the phone. And I love teaching them all these little tricks. And one of the tricks when it comes to email addresses is if they have the email address of anyone else who works at your company, they know the format. So for example, mine will often be s.smith@whatevercompany.com. And if you know the @whatevercompany.com, then you can work it out. So it might be abcco@abccompany.co.uk, and that might be their email address. And it's always first initial dot last name, or it might be first name dot last initial, like who knows, whatever it could be. Or it could be first name dot last name, first name underscore last name, whatever it is. As soon as you work out the pattern, then all they need to know is your name. Does that make sense? If they've got anyone else at that company's name, then they can work out what yours is just by using your name. So is yours E.Smith?
No, it's Smith E.
There you go. So every little pattern is different. But as soon as you know one person at that company, you can then email them and say, hey, I came across your profile on LinkedIn.
Well, how did they merge my personal work company day job with Interview Boss? Get out of here.
LinkedIn.
Gross.
LinkedIn. They were like, I don't know what her interview boss email address is, but I know how to reach her at her company.
Bad luck for them, because I was like, nope. You don't get to access me because you went through the inappropriate channel. I'm not interested in what you have to say.
That's right. And that's a lesson as well, isn't it? For people that don't follow the, like, applying through the right channels when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like, if you go, hey, I have done all the right things, but also I just wanted to follow up, totally fine. They can say, hey, no, I can't reply, but it's not going to hurt in that case. Okay. So if you're sending this as a request via LinkedIn and you're looking at the template, you might have to make it very short in order for it to go inside a connection request. You know, when you like try to connect with someone because you're not connected already and you have to, you've only got like a very short amount of characters. So it's not really ideal to put in there. You might want to connect first, and then if they accept, then you could send it, but then you're kind of waiting a lot of back and forth. So email is best if you can. Now, you can send it to like the info type email address for a company. You know, when you go like contact us on the company's website, they might have like careers at whatever, or they might just have an info at whatever. Normally somebody is reading the emails that go to that email address because there's all kinds of random stuff that comes through there. So if you know the person's name, like let's say you knew that you wanted to contact Emma because she was head of, what was that specific that the guy got?
The content director is who he would be wanting to direct the attention to.
So let's say Emma was the content director and we knew that her name was Emma, but we don't have Emma's email address and we don't really want to stalk her and send her a LinkedIn thing. So we can just send it to the info@radiostation.com and say to Emma, the content director.
Yeah. And whoever gets it will just forward it on.
That's right. Yeah. And you want to make it easy for the person who's managing that inbox. Like if you were that receptionist or that admin person or whoever it is that's managing that info box, you don't want them to have to work really hard to be like, who is this for? Who do I send it to? You want them to know, ah, this is for Emma, forward to Emma or Emma's assistant or whatever.
So for Vanessa, does that mean you would say you're definitely not submitting it into a black hole when you put it into their contact us or submit your career?
I would say they've set that up for a reason. Like there's no promise that they're going to be looking in there actively. There's no promise that they're, you know, going to be hiring for the role that you're going for, but they have deliberately put that thing of going submit your role. Maybe they're growing a lot. Like maybe there's some kind of explanation for why they've done something like that. That's where I think your research comes into it. Like, again, it's so hard to give an example without knowing her career and her context and the company. But let's say for me, I was looking at a startup and they often don't hire HR until they're a little bit more established. Like they normally have like someone else whose responsibility it is. And so they might have no one in HR, no one even doing support function stuff. Like they're not going to hire a super senior person to run the whole thing at the very early stages. Does that kind of make sense? And so I can submit my role just to have my details there, but I might also know, hey, this is a really outside chance. Or they might have someone junior there already and I might think, oh, actually, this might be a really good time for them to consider this role. Does that kind of make sense? Like you have to use your business hat and step into the shoes of that company and think, what would I want to be doing for them? How could I add value to where they're at in their current status?
Yeah. Now, when it comes to following up, like we've said, a lot of this comes down to luck and timing, being in the right place at the right time. We're not expecting anything from this. We are just shooting our shot. So don't be hounding them, you know, a week after, hi, have you received it? What did you think? This is just a submit and forget, and we move on with our life. And maybe in 6 months, we might find a little Easter egg. It might come back and it's a win, but we need to forget about it. And you can turn the job alerts on if you can for their website, on Seek, anything like that. Keep up to date. Follow the company on LinkedIn. And what's our golden time that you think it is acceptable that you can follow up?
2 months or more. I think that's like the minimum amount of time. Like, I know that sounds like a lot, but if you're not hiring, 2 weeks later, has anything drastically changed? Like, I just don't think it has. Remember, we're approaching a company who has no ads for all, you know, we have no reason to believe that they're hiring whatsoever. 2 months is a great time to reach out, or longer. Sometimes you could just get the planets aligning when you follow up and then suddenly things have changed and it's the right moment. That's what we're going for. But we don't want to be that annoying person who has like sent an unsolicited pitch and then followed up that unsolicited pitch as if like, hey, you haven't got back to me. Like, we don't have a relationship. Like, I don't owe you anything. We don't want to be those people.
So we've downloaded our template. We've filled in the blanks. Paint a picture for me. What can this sound like? How are we writing our email?
Yeah, I want to give you a little preview just so that you can, you know, go and download the template. Here's how I've worded it. It's very soft because, again, we don't want this to come off as like a hard pitch. We realize that they're not hiring at the moment, right? So it's coming across as like a, hey, just in case, here's who I am.
You know what it is? It's the netball version of here if you need.
Here if you need. That's exactly right. Yeah. Here if you need. Here if you need. Otherwise, don't worry. Yeah, that's exactly right. I wanted to reach out because company name is genuinely on my short list of places I'd love to work. I came across you through, and then you need to talk about how you found them. Maybe it was a project, maybe it was the news, maybe it was a colleague, your own experience as a customer, you found their careers page, something like that. Then we want to do, I'm particularly interested in blank opportunities, which is like the job title that you're going for. And then we're giving a bit of information about ourselves. I've built my career around doing this, like creating engaging digital campaigns, improving HR processes, whatever that is. And in my current role or my previous role, I've been, and then you're delivering two kind of achievements, skills, experiences, projects, whatever they are that you've done. And then I notice that you guys are currently working on XYZ or your approach is this or your values or whatever. And my current goal is to blah. I know you're not advertising, but I wanted to introduce myself. And then it kind of continues. Do you see the tone? We're going, hey, I came across your company and it's on my list of places I genuinely love to work. I found you through this. Here's a bit about me. I know you're not advertising, but I want to introduce myself in case anything comes up in the future. And then we're attaching our CV and then saying thanks. And then the follow-up email is kind of a similar tone. I think I'm really, really proud of it. I would be proud to send that. And I would also be really happy reading that as well, because it would be super clear to me of why they were reaching out, what they were looking for, and where they might fit. And then you've got their CV attached as well. And it wouldn't make me feel like that person was pushy.
And that they understand there's nothing available.
Yes. It would make me feel like that person had done their research, they actually cared, and they had taken the time to reach out. Now, you have to personalize it. I do not want you dumping this into ChatGPT. I love AI. We love ChatGPT. We've got episodes on it. We've got ways to use it. Sure, help, get it to help you like tidy up your writing. Do not spit out something completely AI generated. It's going to sound super formal. We're going for a genuine human reach out.
And it's shooting your shot, not shooting the ChatGPT bot's shot. So it has to be personal. So get inspired. You've heard some success stories, but we've given you a warning of caution. Don't expect anything. We are giving this out to the universe in the spirit of shooting our shot. All the best. Expect nothing. And what's the saying about like expect nothing and be happy about like expect, hang on. Hope for everything, expect nothing.
Hope for the best, expect the worst. I don't know, something like that. but good luck with it. Let us know how it goes. I would love to hear if you do a massive, massive shoot your shot. This is going to be like a super shoot your shot. What are we going to call it? It needs a new name.
The spectacular shoot your shot. The stupendous shoot your shot. The sensational. No, it's sensational.
Sensational. Sensational. Shoot your shot. Okay. Love it. Let us know if you do a sensational shoot your shot, because I think that's going to make it straight to the list of our shout outs. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how so many of our listeners find us, and there's nothing better than a recommendation for a friend. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people, and bonus, you get to pay it forward and help someone else with their job search too. For more advice, inspiration, and a supportive community, chuck us a follow on Instagram and go follow me on LinkedIn.
Em, can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something, and I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.